The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Again, I'm Ricky Scaparro, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome our Facebook Live audience, and we want to welcome our YouTube audience, and we want to welcome our podcast audience to this message today. Today, guys, I want to be dealing with, I love and enjoy these kind of messages because they're equipping. This is not a hoot and holler and shout, and it's not end time prophecy per se, but it's a equipping. It's an equipping message because every individual is on one of these stages that we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to be talking about from the root to the fruit, the four stages of development of every believer. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Again, the four stages of development to every believer. And then we're going to break this down. And I want to show you this little slide that's going to come up here. And this is the picture. This is the illustration here. See, when you and I see a tree, and we're going to be using an illustration of a tree today. You're going to hear me talk about a fig tree in particular. And I know this is not a fig tree, but it was hard to really pull up good illustrations and images of a fig tree. So you're going to hear me go back and forth, and I may make reference to a fig tree, and when in fact the picture that you see may not always be a fig tree. So I just want to let you know that. But you see this tree here that you see here on your, on at least you guys that are watching this, you guys on podcast. Again, I encourage you, if you can, go back and watch this on YouTube or on Facebook, and you'll see the illustration here. But when we see a tree, when we go out into the woods, or we go into our backyard, or we go to a neighborhood, or we go anywhere in nature, we see a tree and we see its fruit. If it's a healthy tree, you're going to see the trunk, you're going to see the limbs, and you're going to see the foliage, and you're going to see the fruit. But notice on the screen that you're looking at, what you don't see is what's happening below. What's happening below. All right. So, and we want to talk about this. So we're going to go through four stages of the development of a fig tree. Now I put fig tree here, but we can use the general term of a tree, because a tree, all trees pretty much go through these same four stages of development. And I want to show you how they correlate with us as believers. All right, so here's what you see up here on your screen. You've got the first stage is what's called the germination stage. The second stage is what's called the primary growth stage. The third stage is what's called the secondary growth stage. And then, of course, last but not least, you have the final and fourth stage, which is the maturity stage. Again, these are the four stages of the development of the fig tree, or we're going to say a tree in general. So the first stage is what's called the germination stage, the first stage of a believer. This is the first stage in the natural of a tree, but this is also the first stage of a believer, and you and I. Now look up here on the screen. Notice what you see here. Every one of us start out, our walk with God begins right here on the far left of your screen as a seed. It starts out as a seed. It goes into the dirt. And then we begin to develop. Our walk with God develops. It grows. It matures. And many times, we don't see others. Other individuals may not see what's going on behind the scenes or on the inside, but the only one, oh, this is good, guys. The only one that knows that there is true development taking place are you and God. Just like right here on your screen, we may not see, look at here, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You don't even see any kind of manifestation of this thing even coming to fruition until about the sixth stage of the growth of this plant, whatever this is here, this vegetation that you're seeing here. Notice you see these phases of it, and that are all beneath the surface or behind the scenes. And then finally, you see something sprout out or come to light or made manifest. And then that's how we know that it's there's something there. All right. So watch this. Let me start with this. Again, we are in the germination process. So the first process is Luke chapter 8. Luke, and I'm going to put this up here long enough for you guys to get the scripture reference, and then I'm going to pull away from it so you guys can, I'm going to read this scripture and you guys can follow along if you have your Bible. Again, Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Luke 8, 4 through 15. And when many people had gathered together and had come to Jesus out of every city, he spoke unto them by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down. And the birds of the air devoured it, and some fell upon the rock. And as soon as it had sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bore fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable mean?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. And now the parable is this," listen to this, "the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are those that hear, and then comes, and then cometh the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And then the seed that fell upon the rock are they that when they hear and receive the word with joy, but they have no root in themselves for a while, but believe, and in time of temptation they fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they that which hear the word, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground is he that hears the word and receives it with a good heart, having heard the word, he keeps it, and it brings forth fruit with patience." Now remember, we're talking about from the root to the fruit, okay? So this is the development stage. This is stage one of the development. So every one of our lives, regardless of what, where we are in our walk with God, whether you be in phase or stage two, stage three, stage four, stage one, everyone, if you're in the latter stages, you had to start out in this first stage of development. It came from a seed, the seed of the word of God. Somebody came along and planted the seed in your heart, whether it came through the reading of the word, whether it came through a message of the gospel on television, a Christian broadcasting message, the radio, the internet, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, a podcast. Maybe you got invited to a church and the minister of God came up and he sowed the word. Regardless, the seed came into your heart, and you either bore 30, 60, or 100-fold, or time and time again, you would receive the word and the enemy would steal it out of your heart. But eventually, I believe with persistence, you're going to produce something. And then we move on to the second stage that I want to share here with you real quick. The second stage is called the primary growth stage. They call this the quote training. I love this. This is called the training or preparation phase. As a young sapling, fig trees, and remember we talked about we're homing in on a fig tree, and I use the fig tree because it's biblical, it's mentioned in the Bible. As a young sapling, the fig tree roots system establishes and expands. The stem The stem of the tree grows and strengthens into what will one day be a trunk. Primary branches develop out of the main root stem. And then leaves begin to form on the low branches. After the first year, the plant can begin to hold up to pruning. I want to say that again. I want to read this again. Primary branches on stage two of development begin to develop out of the main root system. And all this is all going to be important when I get to this next part here in just a second. And leaves begin to form on the low branches, not the high branches, but the low branches. See, we start out, what's the word of God say? He who humbles himself under the mighty hand of God shall be what? Exalted in due season. You don't start out on the top. You start out on the bottom and you work your way to the top. That goes in the kingdom of God. That goes in the marketplace. That goes in anything in life. You don't just walk into something. And if you walk into something without the proper training, preparation, or development, you're going to fall quickly. This is why the Bible even talks about this and the dangers of this. Notice it says that in the secondary stage, it says the plant can begin to endure pruning only after the first year. So you know what that tells me? When we first give our heart to the Lord, this is why, oh, come on, this is good, guys. This is why I remember when I first gave my heart to the Lord and I was born again. This was, June 2nd, next month, 3 weeks from now, will be my 20th year anniversary of being born again. 20 years anniversary. And here's what I want to tell you guys. When I first gave my heart to the Lord, when I first got saved and born again, I remember it was almost like everything came easy. Everything came smooth. It was like everything I prayed about. It seems like God was quickly answering prayers. Things were opening up quickly. Doors were opening quickly. The blessings were coming. It was hardly any fight. Have you noticed that when you first got saved, it seems like God was answering all your prayers. Things were coming to fruition. Things were coming easy. It seems like there was no battle. There was no struggle. It seemed like it was like an open heaven. Why is that? The answer is right here. Because God, you were so immature at that point and such a new creation, you were vulnerable that God could not put you through a pruning process and that early of a stage of development, because he knew if he did, you could risk killing the plant. Come on, now I'm switching back to the natural. If you take a new plant and you try to prune it before it's certain age, you can actually stun its growth or you could kill it. This is probably why I can't keep any plants alive, because I don't know much about them except for what I read here. But I definitely don't have a green thumb. But I don't understand this so much in the natural, but I absolutely understand this in the spiritual. I'm going to say what Jesus said. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. All right? So let's talk about this pruning process. Since we're talking about this, in this stage of pruning, so after 12 months or after your stage of training and preparation, when the Lord begins to see that you are growing and you are maturing a little bit, you're developing a little bit, you're able to endure some things, you're getting into the word, you're getting into prayer, you're attending church gatherings. You're gathering together with other believers. You're getting the word and you're memorizing scripture. You're learning how to pray. You're learning how to deal with spiritual warfare. Now the Lord begins to bring you to the first phase of pruning. In this stage, it is only necessary to prune the plant, listen to this, to lightly shape it and train future growth. Oh, guys, I got to say that again. In the first initial pruning stage, pruning is initiated to lightly shape and train the tree for future growth. Ideally, you should not prune that plant until it's mature. Ideally. This is powerful, guys. Now, why is that? Where have we heard this? Oh, that's right. John chapter 15. I got to read this to you. John 15. I'm going to pull it up here on your screen so you can watch it with me. John 15. I'm going to give it just a second. It's kind of a little bit delayed here. There it is. John 15. I know that's really small on the screen here, but that's where I'm reading from. John 15. Jesus is speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away or he removes it. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Who does the pruning? The Heavenly Father. Why? That it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And again, he repeats himself, I am the vine, you are the branches, and he who abides in me, I in him, bears much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. Why does it wither? We'll get into that later on in this segment. And they gather them, which ones? The withered branches, and they throw them into the fire. Again, this is an absolute picture of hell. We went over that in our last message, I believe, we talked about. And they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. And by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So look at this. Nobody wants to hear this. But it is good for you and I to be pruned by the Heavenly Father. Why? Because the whole purpose of us going through a pruning process is that we may bear fruits. God gets glory out of our fruit. Out of our fruit. Now, so what are we talking about here? We're talking about the training, development, and preparation phase. This is stage two of the development of the tree and the believer, all right? So I want to pull up another scripture here. Watch this. We're going to go through a lot of scripture here, guys. So if you ain't got your scripture reading in today, I can guarantee you one thing, by the end of this segment, you're going to have some Bible reading done. Ephesians chapter 3, look at this. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that, listen to this, that you being rooted and grounded, he wants you to be rooted and grounded in love. Now, who is love? God. God is love. Is that not what your word says? So there's no harm to scripture when you say that he desires that you be rooted and grounded in him, because he is love. If you've seen him, you've seen love. And if you've known true love, you've known God. And he who does not know God does not know true love. That's what the word of the Lord says. I believe it's in 1st or 2nd John. It talks about that. And so that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Here we got some more scripture here. This is Romans chapter 5, verses 2 and 4, and 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 10. These are all dealing with our preparation stage, our training. This is this phase that we're talking about here. Romans 5, 2 and 4, though whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and 10. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. You guys thought that was a song you sang in church, but you know what? You know where that song was inspired from? Right there, 2 Corinthians. Verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So again, look at this. Tribulations, perseverance, character, hope, perplexed, not despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, we're crushed, but we're still pressing on. Why is God allowing this? Answer, so that we mature and that we produce fruit worthy of repentance. Listen, you want to talk about an olive tree? You realize, do you know where olive oil comes from? Hello, it's a no-brainer. It comes from olives that are produced by the olive tree. Do you know how olive oil is produced? It's produced by the crushing, pressing. And the crushing and the pressing produces the oil. You want oil? Come on. You want your life to produce oil? You want your life to produce anointing? You want to have a presence of God in your life that is tangible, that is notable, that is transferable, then you are going, my friend, to go through a process just like a tree in the natural goes through a process. You and I are going to go through this process. Why? Because God is shaping, molding, and transforming us into His likeness, into His image. Whew. Come on, somebody. Let me pull up another scripture here. I told you, you're going to get your scripture reading in today. 1 Peter 1 and 7. 1 Peter 1 and 7. This goes right along with this. This is 1 Peter 1, 7. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold. Look at that, guys. You and I's faith, God says, is more precious than all the gold that's stored in Fort Knox. All the gold that lines the streets of heaven. Your faith is more precious than any amount of gold in this earth or in heaven. Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Think about that for a moment. Just as natural gold goes through a purification process in which it's heated up and the impurities are raised up to the top and they're skimmed off, this is exactly what you and I go through from this illustration here is the second phase or this growth process of the tree, of the pruning process. Think about this. Even in our human life, we start out crawling as infants, and then we progress to walking, and then we eventually get to a place where we're able to run. Let me say that again. We come out of the womb. Eventually, we get to a place where we crawl, and then we mature to a place where we walk, and then we get to a place where we run. Did you know that's how it is in our walk with God? We are born again, and then we're called eventually. We're in a We're in an infant place. We're in a place where we desire milk and we're still crawling. Then we get to a place where we walk. We're walking with God. We're walking with God. And then we get to a place where we follow him. Where he runs, we run with him. Come on, somebody. It's this maturing process. When children start out riding bikes, they have training wheels. But then eventually they take the training wheels off because they've learned to balance themselves. They've learned to operate the bike without the proper training mechanism that helps uphold them or lift them up. When we take them bowling, we put up the bumper rails so that they can keep the ball within the perimeter of the bowling alley and the frame to hit the pins. God, I believe, friends, God does this in all of our lives. You know what it's called? One word. It's called grace. God gives us the grace that we need. Grace to be able to get through a season of hardship. Grace to get through that marital problem. Grace to get through that physical problem. Grace to get through the sickness and the infirmity. Grace to get through the financial hardship. Grace to get through that ministry hiccup. Grace to get through the things that you deal with your kids and the rebellion and the defiance and the grace that to get you through the uncertainties. Grace to get us through the coronavirus, and somebody better amen me on that one. Grace, God, give us grace to get through the fear and the paranoia that is gripping the earth with this coronavirus. Think about King David. David began, we know David is a great king. We know David is the giant slayer, but he didn't come on the scene. He didn't come out of the womb and come on the scene and go out into a field and slay a giant and become the king of Israel. He began in the field tending sheep and fighting off. Come on, he fought off the wolves and he fought off the lions and he fought off the bears and he fought off those predators. He fought off the small devils before he ever dealt with the big devils. All right, and God gave him the grace to be able to do that in that season and then progress him and advance him to greater levels of promotion in his life. All right, then we go to the next one. I want to pull this up here. Let me pull this next slide up here. And again, I know this is not a fig tree, but this was the best thing I could find because I really want to show you something here. This is the third growth stage. This is the third phase of the growth phase of the tree. After a year, the fig tree, and I know this is not a fig tree, so you have to bear with me, but it's the same concept. Listen to this. After a year, the tree enters the next growth phase, which the first branches and bark grow more firm. Secondary branches begin to develop and leaf development continues. The roots spread wider and harden and bark forms to strengthen the trunk. Now look at this image that you're looking at on the screen. Again, you have the seed and then the seed grows and then it gets a little bit more developed, and over there on your left, you'll see the root system start descending down. Again, it goes under the earth. Everybody on the, oh, come on, somebody. Everybody, your family, your coworkers, your associates, your acquaintances, the people at Walmart, wherever you go, they don't see your root system. All they see is your foliage and your fruit. But notice how the more mature the tree gets in its development, the wider, the more broad, and the deeper its roots get. Why? Because, listen, you can go around and you may have some pretty leaves on the top that everybody can see. You may, your tree foliage may look good, but how deep is your root system? Oh, come on. What does it look like behind the scenes? What does it look like under everything? that nobody else sees behind closed doors? What about the character? What about the maturity? What about your reputation? Because I can tell you one thing. If you don't have a strong root system like you're seeing here, a strong wind will come and blow. A strong storm will come. A strong bitter winter will come. And if you don't have a strong root system, no matter how pretty you look or how appealing you look or how you can attract people by how green your leaves are or how good your fruit looks, I'll remind you that there's a lot. I've seen a lot of pretty fruit and bright fruit, and then you get up on the fruit and you realize it's not even real fruit. Oh, come on. It's artificial fruit. So it is more based on that image I just showed you. It is far more important that you develop maturity behind the scenes than you develop it in the spotlight. Let me say that again. It is far more important that you develop what everybody else doesn't see before you ever develop what everybody else sees. Because listen, your character is going to take you far more farther than your gifts, than your fruit, than your leaves, than your trunk, than how big you are and how tall you are and how big your ministry is and how bright and colorful your ministry is and how it stands out among every other ministry out there. Because when real storms come, real attacks come, real tests come, real trials come, we will know real quick how good our root system is. Now I want to show you, I want to pull up something else here. Notice something that I got to show you here. Let me pull up the slide here. I want to pull back up Romans chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. Romans 5, 2 through 4. There it is, right there. Notice the progression of our walk. And that's why I highlighted or put that in parentheses there. Look at this, Romans 5, 2 through 4. Here it is. Here's the progression of the walk of the believer. Number one, tribulations. Tribulations produce perseverance. Number three, perseverance produces character. Number four, character produces hope. So there it is. You've got tribulation, perseverance, character, and hope. So if you want hope, guess what? You're going to have to go through some tribulation. Well, brother, I wish I had perseverance. Well, guess what? You're going to have to go through some tribulation to produce perseverance. And you see, listen, you see a man or a woman of God out there that's a mature man or woman of God that has a ministry that's been around for a long time and it's still operating in signs, wonders, and miracles and is still operating in truth and still operating in good reputation. Listen to me, friends. They are operating in character. But I can tell you, if they have character, they've been through some trials, they've been through these tribulations, they've been through some perseverance because they've developed character. And when you've been through all that, friends, it's going to give you hope. You know why you're going to have hope? Listen, something can come at you and you're going to say, man, I've been through tribulations just as bad as that. And I made it through then. I'll make it through now. And you say, God gave me the grace to persevere through that. He'll give me the grace to persevere through this. And then once you get to that level, you begin to produce character. Where everybody who sees you go through a trial, they see you go through a storm, they see you go through a hardship, they see you going in a valley, all of a sudden you've developed a character or a reputation. They're going to say, yeah, I know they're in a low place, but just keep your eye on them because I've seen them, come on somebody, in the low place and God took them out of the low place and put them in the high place. I've seen God put them in, take them out of the valley and put them on the mountain. I've seen him take them out of the darkness and bring them back to the light. I've seen them down and I've seen them up. Come on, the word of the Lord says, I was young and now I'm old and I've yet to see the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg of bread. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it's the Lord who delivers us out of them all. Think about the progression of the believer that is pictured in Egypt when God took the children of Israel, which was a picture of the Old Testament church, the children of Israel. He brought them out of Egypt, brought them into the wilderness, and eventually got them to the promised land. You know what that is? That is a progression. Those are stages or progression of the believer. They progressed from bondage to sonship to kingship. All right? And this is where we're at. We're progressing in the Lord. Think about it. Every missionary that I've ever known who has done anything for the Lord overseas, gone to third world countries, shaking the nations outside the United States of America, they didn't start out by going overseas. They started out with a passion, a fervency, a hunger, a burden, and a desire to help the homeless and the orphans and the widow and help those among them. They're the first ones at the homeless shelter. They're the first ones to help feeding the poor and clothing the naked and doing all this thing. Why? Because it was a burden. God used them in the small. The Bible says, despise not the small beginnings. They started out with a seed at the small beginning of their burden and missionary work. And then God saw that they were faithful over what was little, and he progressed them to be ruler over what was much. He said, if I can trust you to feed a homeless man under the bridge of your city, I can surely trust to send you overseas and help you feed and clothe a nation. Come on, somebody. If Reinhard Bonnke was still alive, he'd say a big amen right there. One of the greatest apostles and missionaries. John G. Lake was another one. He had a great desire for Africa. And he sold and left everything he had, the clothes off his back, and got on a bus and went to Africa. Why? Because it was a burden. It was a desire to do what God had called him to do. All right. Let's take you over again. Let's talk about this, this pruning, this phase as we get on through this, as we go in these stages of development. You're going to see more and more that God does not desire for us to remain in an infant mentality of the Lord, or in a childlike state. He wants us to come as children in faith, lest you come as little children. That's what he says, right? Or you by no means have anything, have no part of the kingdom of God. He's talking about childlike faith. But in our spiritual walk, he wants us to mature. Listen to this, Ephesians 4:11 through 14. And he gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and to a perfect man. That word perfect there in Greek is mature. And to a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, remember, I told you, if you have a shallow root system, you're going to be tossed to and fro and about every wind of doctrine. But if you've got a deep, wide, broad root system in Christ, in his word, in prayer, in your walk with God, then you're not going to be blown by every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So again, and in context of this, this is why God desires for apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to be in a local church for the perfection and equipping of the saints. But most of the church today don't even believe half of these offices don't even exist today. And don't even get me started on that, because that's a whole other message. Let me go to Hebrews 5, 12 and 14. For at the time when you ought to be teachers, listen what Paul, listen what the writer of Hebrews said. I believe it was Paul. Some will disagree, but nevertheless, the author said, at this time, you should be teachers. But you have need that one teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is just a babe. But strong meat belongs to who? What's that say on your screen? Those who are of full age, thus mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Friends, let me pull away from here. I want you to look at me here for a second. I want to talk to you for a second. This is how you can determine the state of a lot of the church today. You can tell the state of the maturity of the church today based on the maturity level of believers. And you know how you can determine that? How many Christians can even discern what is good and what is evil? What is right and what's wrong? Listen, it's one thing for the world to be in darkness. It's one thing for the world to be in unbelief. And they don't properly discern what is good and evil. And they call evil good and good evil. It's one thing for them to do that. But it's another thing for those to bear the name of Christ, call themselves Christians, and have no discernment. They don't discern witchcraft. They don't discern Jezebel. They don't discern pride. They don't discern evil. They don't discern pride. They don't discern wickedness, abominations. They're supporting abomination. They're supporting the shedding of innocent blood. And I could really plow into that, but I'm going to use wisdom today. Let me just say this. If you're a believer, your gauge, your measuring stick is not society, culture, some guru, some philosopher, some new ager, some hip believer on Christian television that's up deceiving people because he's preaching another Jesus and another gospel that doesn't line up with the word of God. If you want to know how to determine what is right, what is good, what is right, what is wrong, what is good, what is evil, what is the ultimate measuring rod? It has to be the word of God. It's going to be the determining factor on everything you do, whether it be to vote or whether it be to marry, whether it be to live, whatever it is. What the word of God says, whether we eat, whether we drink, whether we live or whether we die, we do it all unto the Lord. Is that not what the word of the Lord says? So what are we doing? We're going through some scripture here. Listen to this. Let me pull up another one here. I got to show you this scripture. Again, this is from the writer of Hebrews. Again, I believe it was the Apostle Paul. But we don't want to split hairs here. But nevertheless, the writer of the book of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, listen what he says. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. And that's not even, I don't know what translation that is. I thought that was the New King James. But I believe the King James says, therefore, leaving the elementary principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto maturity. That word again in Greek is mature. Let us go on into maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. There's like four or five principles here, guys, that Paul calls elementary principles. And I'm going to tell you something, 95% of every church in the United States of America are stuck on these principles. They will recycle over and over again these same principles, which is again, the laying the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now, should we preach these? Absolutely. Should these be fundamental doctrines of every believer? You better believe it. But notice what Paul says. There comes a time when these should be so. Listen, if you're 35 years old, you need to get out of elementary school. There's a problem. Look, Billy Madison was a funny movie, but it's not funny in reality. It's not funny when you're 35, 40 years old, and you're still in elementary school because you're not willing to come on to mature, get what you need to get learned and graduate and move forward and go up and go out in Jesus' name. All right. Now I want to get to another part here. Listen to this. Well, I'm going to skip over this because we've already talked about this. All right. So now I want to deal with something that we need to discuss here. And that is this next part right here. I got my slide mixed up. I'm going to switch this slide here, because I want to show you this. Give me just a second, guys, because I want to pull this up so you can follow me. So here on the screen, you see on the right, you see a healthy tree, and on the left, you see a dead tree. Now, why is that? Because a lot of times, trees, listen, you can, the seed will go on the ground, it will begin to grow, it will begin to develop. But all of a sudden, if you're like me, this happens all the time when you try to plant a tree. I've had this happen so many times to me, I've lost count. But in the beginning, it looked healthy. I was like, oh, praise God, you know, this thing is growing. But then all of a sudden, it started looking more and more like the left of your screen, which is the dead part. Now what is that? This is, something is causing this tree to begin to die. So what is it? What's causing this tree to die? Well, the answer to that is, there's several things, honestly, to be honest with you, and we're going to pull that up. Disease and insects. Again, disease and insects are your two most common factors that kill your a tree, is disease and insects. Listen what Joel 2:25 says. I'll restore to you the years that the locust has eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. Now, I want to show you this. Insects attack from without. From without. In other words, they're outside forces coming in to attack the tree from the outside. But many times, disease will happen from the inside. Let me say that again. There's outside forces and there's inside forces that kill trees, many trees. What you're seeing on the screen, the outside forces, the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar. And listen, that's just a reference out of Joel 2:25. I understand there's what's called bagworms. There is, Japanese beetles. There's all kinds of, depending on where you're from and your location, there's different insects that will kill your, that will kill your tree. All right. But watch this. But then we have, what do I mean by the disease from the inside? And we're going to go back to the insects in just a second. Diseased from the inside. Diseased from the inside. Galatians 5:19-21. Listen to this. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, but then there's the fruits of the Spirit, and I'm going to pull that up here. All right, bear with me so we can pull that slide up and take just a second. The fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, same chapter. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Now, guys, where does all this come from? That comes from within. That comes from within. And you say, well, how does that come from within? Well, let me pull up another screen. I'm going to give you a scripture for that. All right, here we go. I'm going to prove to you that this comes not from without. That's the insects. From within. All right, look at this. Luke 6:44-46. And consequently, look what he says here. For every tree is known by its own fruit. Now remember, from the root to the fruit, what's in the root is in the fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, and they don't gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man, listen to this, out of the good treasure of his what? Heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the what? Heart, his mouth speaks. So where, again, where does that come from? Where does outbursts of wrath and evil ambitions and adultery and fornication and lust and greed and sorcery and wickedness and cursing and swearing and all that stuff come from? It comes from within and it goes out of your mouth. And he said, well, hold on here now. Hold on. I'm having a hard time swallowing that because how does it get in there? Well, that's easy. You ready? It either comes in through your eye gate or your ear gate. Let me say that again. It either comes in through your eye gate or your ear gate. What you hear, why do you think the Bible says take heed what you hear? Why do you think the Bible says guard your heart with what? All diligence. For out of it comes the issues of life. For out of the heart comes wickedness. And this, what's the Bible says? It says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Why? Because we open ourselves up to what we see and what we hear, and it begins to take root. It begins to plant seed in our hearts, seeds of fornication, seeds of adultery, seeds of wickedness. And listen, this is why the enemy, even at a young age, the enemy will work overtime to make sure that seeds are planted into your little heart. When you're a little child, seeds of fear, seeds of abandonment, seeds of doubt and unbelief and seeds of loneliness and rejection and abandonment. And those seeds are watered as you develop in your life and you begin to see that fruit manifest as an adult. Whatever that seed is, whether it's fear, whether it's doubt, whether it's unbelief, whether it's abandonment, you have rejection issues, you have trust issues. Where do you think all that comes from? It's from circumstances, it's from life, and it's seeds that are planted in your heart. This is why it's so important of who you associate with, who you yoke with, who you fellowship with, what you listen to, what you, come on somebody, I'm preaching to myself today. You listen, you don't have to amen me, but I'm going to amen myself. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because you're convicting me. You're stepping on my toes, so I know you got to be stepping on somebody's toes. Listen here, I want to show you something here real quick. Watch this. How you think we get to this? Hebrews 12:15. Look at this, Hebrews 12:15. I'm going to give you a second to pull it up. Here it is. Looking, Hebrews 12:15. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Yes, you can fall short of the grace of God. Did you know that? I know some preachers tell you you can't. They'll tell you the grace of God will keep you, and you can sin, you can do all you want, and you ain't got to worry about a thing because grace will carry you all the way to the end. It's amazing how grace is strong enough to keep you out of hell, but it's not strong enough to keep you out of sin. Hello? He says, look carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up cause trouble, and by this many become defiled, or they rot themselves. If you were a tree and you had, and bitterness was in your root system, it's a disease. And if you don't get the disease out of your root system, it's going to spring up and it's going to disease your trunk, your being, and it's going to begin to develop into and be produced, and it's going to be manifest into your leaves. And what everybody else sees and what they partake of is going to be a direct result of what's in your root system that's coming out on your leaf system. Come on, somebody. All right. So now I want to show you something else here. There are many factors that keep a tree from producing fruit. No, one thing is weak or diseased trees. That's where we've been going with this. Listen to this. Weakened or diseased trees produce little or no fruit, or they produce fruit that's poor quality. Now, the word weakness, by the definition of Webster's, is a lacking of strength, a deficiency in physical stature, not able to sustain or exert much weight, pressure, or strain. Come on, let him have ears to hear, let him hear. Not able to resist external forces or withstand attacks. Wow. Easily upset or offended. Hello. Mentally or intellectually deficient, not firmly decided. We call that double-minded. Resulting from or indicating lack of judgment or discernment, not able to withstand temptation or persuasion, not able to function properly, lacking skill or proficiency, indicating a lack of skill or effect, deficient in the usual or required ingredients to be sustained. Those are all definitions of weakness. Listen, oh my goodness, I just got a word right there. We got a lot of believers. Oh, this is going to make some folks mad right here and ruffle some feathers, but it won't be the first time. We got a lot of believers that go around boasting of their weakness, and I'm not talking about in a good way. They are always boasting of their weakness of why they fall. Well, brother, you just pray for me. I know I've fallen over and over and over and over and over again. 1,000 times, but you know I've got that weakness. And instead of fasting, praying, pleading with God, getting accountability, getting it crucified, and we're not downing anybody that has a weakness, but I'm trying to tell you, friends, that weakness is not something to be proud of. God wants to strengthen those feeble hands that lay low so that you may lift your hands again and praise him again and worship again and come on and battle again. We got to stop using our weaknesses as an excuse to keep falling and go to the Lord with our weaknesses. Listen, I've got weaknesses. I acknowledge that. And I know that. But I have to do something about it. I can't just say, well, you know, this is my lot in life. You know, everybody's got their weakness. You know, we say that all the time in the natural. Well, you know, I got a weakness, brother, in chocolate. I just can't withstand it. You know, I can't, I'm good. I can go without chocolate unless somebody brings some M&Ms or makes a chocolate cake or somebody bring in some chocolate donuts. And then I don't have the willpower to say, no, I'm going to go and I'm going to eat 6 donuts and a half a bar of chocolate. And I'm going to eat a half a pound of cake. I just, that's just how it is. And that's just my lot in life. No, you have to get willpower. Come on, somebody. Don't, if you know they're going to bring chocolate cake, don't go. If somebody brings M&Ms, walk out of the room. Come on, I'm preaching today. We have to do something about this. Listen to this. So number one, weakness. A weakness, if there's a branch that's weak on the tree, that weak branch will not be able to efficiently produce leaves. And if they cannot produce leaves, it ain't going to bear no fruit. Because the leaves, the weight of the leaves won't even be able, the branch won't even sustain the weight of the leaves. What makes you think it's going to hold the fruit that wants to come from it? All right. The second thing is disease. By definition, disease is the condition of the living animal or plant body or one of its parts that impairs normal functioning and is typically manifested by distinguishing signs and symptoms. Now, I had to bring this up when I was doing this study because I thought of this. But this was one of the things that I thought of. I want you to see this real quick on your screen here. I immediately thought of this scripture. 1 Peter 5:8, you see that right there. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, we know that's Satan, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Now that picture there is a lion attacking an animal, a bison, I believe that is. It's probably not a bison. And if it's not, please don't get mad at me. It's an animal. It's attacking. The lion is a predator going after its prey that you see there. But here's what I want to, but this is what I want to tell you. When you watch these shows, if you've ever watched these shows like this on National Geographic or Discovery Channel or whatever, if you've ever watched any of these programs about how these lions attack their prey, whether it be cheetahs or lions or jaguars, whatever, they inevitably, they seek out and they look for a weak, listen to me, the weak and diseased animal of the herd, and they will pick it off before they pick off the healthy ones. Let me say that again. Lions will sit back and you'll see a herd of ox go by, a herd of zebras go by, a herd of elk, a herd of whatever that go by. These animals will run by bison, whatever. These lions will watch this herd go by, like you're seeing right here. You'll see this herd go by. But the weak and diseased ones, the feeble ones that are in the back of the herd that can't keep up, they're old, they're feeble, they're weak, whatever. They have these pre-existing conditions. Those lions will pick them off. And can I tell you, this is what the enemy does in our walk with God. He looks, he watches, he sees your weakness. He sees that area of your life that is weak, that is not strengthened, whether it lacks in faith thereof. Maybe it's your lack there of faith in believing that God wants to heal you, or in your faith that God wants to bless you and prosper you, or in believing for your family to be saved, or whatever the area is. God sees, maybe you have a weakness in lust, a weakness in pride, a weakness when it deals with money, or whatever the case may be. The enemy watches, and this is why the scripture says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. He's looking for an opening, looking for the vulnerable, looking for the weak that he may devour. Now, again, the two main problems, again, are insects and diseases. I told you the disease from the inside out. Now, another way, someone brought this up here on Facebook Live. A tree can die many times with a lack of water. When there's not enough when there's not enough water, then a tree will die. You know what that represents? The washing of the Word of God. It can be twofold. It can represent the Word of God, but it can also represent the presence of God or the Holy Spirit. Listen, I don't care how long you've been in your walk with God. If you stay away from the house of God long enough, you stay away from the Word of God long enough, you stay away from His presence long enough, you are going to begin to produce bad things. Your leaves are going to begin to wither. Your fruit's going to begin to wither. Remember, what did Jesus say in John 15? He said, if any man abides in me and I abide in him, the same shall bear what? Much fruit. We got to be watered in our walk with God. We got to get in the presence of God. We got to get into some worship. We got to get into the Word. We got to get in fellowship with other believers. We have to. Well, I don't feel like it. Force it. Make yourself do it. Because, listen, the truth is, there's many times your flesh don't want to worship. It don't want to go to church. It don't want to pray. It don't want to get in the Word. But then all of a sudden, you'll notice that you press in and you start doing it and you get the breakthrough. And all of a sudden, you get that breakthrough and you start out in the flesh, but you end in the Spirit. God shows up with His presence, shows up with the anointing. You get a rhema Word of God. You get a breakthrough in worship. Come on, somebody. You get a blessing in the house of God. Whatever the case may be. So what about these caterpillars and these locusts and the palmer worms and the canker worms? What do these represent? These are the outside attacks. These are the things that come and want to devour our fruit. They want to devour our leaves. They want to destroy our walk with God. These represent outside attacks, financial attacks, physical attacks, strife, discord, lies, slander, gossip, marital attacks, attacks on your ministry, attacks in your business. These are outside attacks, spiritual warfare. Hello. Things that are coming against us from outside forces. Come on. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Whew. So that's what we're talking about here. Now, let me pull up one more verse here. Again, here's what we're going to close with this scripture, guys, right here. We're about done. I want to close with this. Here's what it's all about. When it comes down to it, guys, I got an illustration up here. Let me pull up this picture. Here it is. I want to show you this. I want to make sure we get this up on the screen because I want to show you this is very important, and we're going to close. In fact, we're just going to close with this illustration right here. Look at this life cycle. It starts out with the seed. And then the seed sprouts, it produces, see there it goes, seed, sprouting seed, and sprout. Then it produces the sapling. This is the young walk of the believer. And then over a period of time, and everyone's development is different, then you become a small tree, or you become, listen to this, a follower of Jesus. You become a follower of Jesus. Then, watch this, your root system, because remember, you can't see this on behind the scenes, but underneath, there's a root system growing, and it's growing wide, broad, and deep. You become, listen, now you're a follower of Jesus, you're learning to withstand storms. You're learning to withstand trials. You're learning to go through trials. You're learning to endure hardship. You're producing perseverance. You're producing character. You're walking with God. Then all of a sudden, you start producing fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith. You're producing. Somebody say producing. You're producing, not only you're producing, when you start producing fruit, you know what else you're going to start producing? You're going to begin to go to the next phase where you produce fruit with seeds. This is disciples. You start producing disciples. You start producing disciples. You're not only, now you've matured, you went from the babe stage to walking with God, then you start running with God, then you start producing fruit for God, and then you produce disciples of God. And then this cycle starts all over again. You produce fruit, you produce disciples, those disciples start sowing seed, and guess what? Those seeds start sprouting, producing, and then you have this multiplication process. This cycle goes over and over and keeps producing. Y'all see that? Is that not powerful? So that's what we got here. So I want to pray for some folks here. Again, endtimeheadlines.org. I forgot to put up the graphics here for this, but endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's where you can follow us. That's our main website. You guys listen to podcasts. That's where you can go. When you go there, look for our app. You guys listen by Facebook Live. Under the description, there's a place where you can download our app on Apple and on Android. Please, it's free. Go to do that. You guys on YouTube, under the description of this video on YouTube, it's going to be there too. Just click on the link. Download our free app. When you get our app, it's going to have our podcasts, our YouTube, all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective, push notifications. Everything is going to be right there. We want you to go and get that information if you would. Before we pray, we want to give an opportunity. If this message has been a blessing to you, this ministry has been a blessing to you, if we're a continual source of information, revelation, transformation, equipping, encouraging on a weekly basis, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner to this ministry. Or maybe the Lord puts it on your heart to sow a one-time gift. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart, we want to encourage you to do that. And you can do that at our main website at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. You can give electronically there, or you can give by check or money order. And you guys on YouTube are watching this, you're going to see all that information. But you guys on Facebook Live and watching by podcast, you can give by check or money order at End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana. And zip code there is 47131. And again, that's how you give, by check or money order. So we love you guys and greatly appreciate your giving, your prayers, and your partnership to our ministry. Again, we have, real quick before we pray, we have a couple announcements. Number one, I need your prayers. Our family needs your prayers. This ministry needs your prayers, not only just a basis of protection, blessing, and provision, but we are in a transition phase. I don't have the liberty to tell everything right now, but as things progress on this, then I'm going to get you guys involved in that. And when that time comes, now listen, some of y'all can pray in the Holy Ghost and the Lord may tell you in the Spirit. And if He does, I want you to pray for us. But until we make known to you plainly what this is, we're going to progressively reveal that progressively as things open up. So we want to give you that information as we get it, but be praying, because there's two major things that has to happen. Again, we will fill you all in on that as time goes on. But we appreciate your prayers for wisdom and guidance on that and timing. All right, number two, before we pray, tomorrow, somebody say tomorrow, Friday, between 5 and 7 p.m. Eastern, same time, we're going to do a message. We're going to have images, scriptures, the whole nine yards, just like this. we're going to talk about, and it's probably going to be a two-part series where there's no way we can do all of it one day, but we're going to do the rise and fall of Lucifer. We're going to talk about the origin of Lucifer, where he came from, where he went, why he did what he did, details, his bold, everything. All everything's going to be there. It's probably going to be a two-part series. We're going to kick that off tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. That's going to be a powerful message that we want to get out there. And that's going to be a prophetic message, end time message that you don't want to miss. But let's pray for you guys right now. Won't you lift your hands up if you can? If you can't, I want you to receive this blessing regardless. Father, I thank you for every individual under the sound of my voice tonight or today or however that when they may be watching this, whether it be live or the rebroadcast of this. I pray the blessings of the Lord upon them, regardless of what stage they're in, whether they're a babe in Christ, whether they're walking with Christ, whether they're following Christ, they're a disciple of Christ, they're producing after their own kind. Lord, wherever they're at in their walk with God, I'm asking, Father, that you would give them the grace that they need to be able to endure the pruning that you're about to take them in. Whether they've been pruned or in the pruning process, or they're going to be, God, you desire, you said in your word that the Father desires for us to bear much fruit. And through that fruit bearing, he gets much glory. God, I'm asking that you would help all of us, myself included, produce the fruit we need to produce, the character we need to produce, the walk we need to produce, so that we may finish this race that you've called us to run and endure until the time of the end. God, we want to win many souls. We want to produce many after our own kind, which is Christians, which is followers of Christ. We want to cast our nets out and bring in a mighty harvest. You said the harvest is surely plentiful, but the laborers are few. And you said, pray to the Lord of harvest that he may send laborers out into the field. And God, I'm asking that you would commission and send as many as that would go right now, watching this and listening to this, to go ye into the highways and byways and compel them to come into the house of the Lord. How do we do it? You said in your word, let our light so shine among men that they may see our works. That's going to be the fruit in our lives. And glorify the Father which is in heaven. And we thank you and we praise you for these things and many more. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. And all God's people said amen and amen. So God bless you guys. We're going to sign off for tonight. But again, we'll be back on tomorrow between 5 and 7 p.m. Eastern time with that two-part message on Lucifer, the origin, the rise and fall of the origin of Lucifer. So God bless. We'll see you then.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.